Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are pleased to welcome Steve Kuyler from Tampa, covers the league for Basketball Insiders. And Steve, we know now all the teams have arrived, a couple of straggling players, but everybody's gone through their initial intake testing. How confident would you say the NBA community is that they will stay on track and get this this seeding round of games off the ground?
Very confident. I think there's a couple of things. Is one, the way the NBA went about doing this in terms of how early they got players in, how much they started testing before they went to Orlando, identifying anybody that was basically positive before they got there, quarantining for several days while they get there, testing again, you know, double validating a lot of the things that they knew. You know, now we're at a point where it's, can you get it in the bubble, not did you bring it with you? So I think we're at a point where the precautions the NBA has taken in all of this are going to be what matters. But we're to the point now where teams are on the court, and that's what we've been waiting for. And from there, we'll get into some scrimmages, and we'll get to see some of those things on TV. And then we'll get to some games here at the end of the month, which is pretty exciting, because about 2 months ago, I was not nearly as optimistic as I am today.
It was interesting to hear Adam Silver in an interview that he did last week talk about if there's a hole in the bubble, that's when you start to worry. But theoretically, the idea is that the virus can't get spread if it's not in the bubble. I keep thinking, Steve, like, could you imagine being that one player or someone who, I don't know, breaks protocols and brings it back in, and all of a sudden the whole thing gets shut down? I can't fathom that type of, I guess, guilt would be the right word for it.
Yeah, just ask Rudy Gobert what that was like, because he was the poster child for ruining the world forever. You know, it's a tough thing, and I think there's a lot of realities in this. And I think, you know, 3 months ago, January, these guys probably don't take all of this as seriously as they do today. But, you know, we've seen a player, and Karl-Anthony Towns lose his mother over this. We've seen, you know, more than 20 players themselves test positive, and many of them are in the bubble, having cleared that, and can speak to what it was like in those moments of those 14 days. Am I going to be the one that goes to the hospital? So I think this is a very real thing. And having talked to a number of players that are now in the bubble, and more importantly, coaches and executives, theirs are real. This is a business trip type mindset. And I'm just hopeful that the teams and the players that are going to be there the longest, because some of these teams are going to go home in about, you know, 4 weeks anyway, that as the bubble gets longer, that the cabin fever doesn't set in and somebody does something stupid.
Do you think that in addition to the caution, in addition to the kind of the understanding that this is so different, that there is some excitement about getting this underway after all this time and all this work?
Absolutely. You know, I've talked to some guys that, you know, literally they felt like they lost their arm, you know, when this is kind of your life, when this is what you do every day at the highest level, and then it's immediately taken away from you, and you don't know how you'll get it back or when you get it back. There are a couple of things I'm curious to see if exist anymore after this. Are we going to see load management anymore? Are guys going to win the game? Because they now know what that means, that the game can be over in a blink of an eye. And
right.
I do think there is a sense of don't waste your opportunity, and especially for the teams that are there, because the truth of it is it this isn't about be great for 82 games. This is, can you be great for about 8 weeks? And the team that can do that has a chance to win a championship, and that puts all kinds of new things on the board because injury is no longer a factor. Philadelphia 76ers are whole. When you think about, you know, Phoenix, when you think about, you know, Sacramento, when you think about the New Orleans Pelicans, you know, their seasons were all about what could we have been if we were healthy. Now they're healthy and have a chance to get into it. And a lot of the things that you build over the course of a season, like rhythm and chemistry and continuity, they've got to reinvent all of those things on the fly in a new environment. So I think it makes it way more wide open. I think guys are going to value the opportunity a lot more. I just get the sense that everybody's ready to go hard in this, which is kind of surprising because normally the last week of the NBA season isn't that. Normally the first week of the playoffs isn't that. And I think that's going to make it better television. We'll see if it's better basketball. But I think there's going to be a lot more focus on this for a lot of teams. And I think you saw, look, the Brooklyn Nets could have kind of tapped out of this thing. Right. They went and signed a couple of players to get legit. So I'm interested to see how this whole thing plays out.
Steve Kuyler covers the NBA for Basketball Insiders with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. And you're in Tampa. So what's your situation in terms of the media aspect of covering the bubble?
Well, the NBA has done two tiers of media, and there were basically 10 media members that would be in what they're calling Tier 1. So Chris Haynes is over there, ESPN. There's a huge expense to that that the media outlet has to bear. Tier 2, a little easier. That's going to be more like the NBA playoffs. There's a credential process. I'm waffling back and forth on whether or not it's something I want to take part in. Obviously, I think about my family. I think about the benefit of being there. I think about the fact that I have to agree to be tested every 2 days.
Wow.
I don't think I want to do that. You know, my wife went through a test, and I lived with her for a couple of days talking about how sore her nose was and just volunteering to do that. I don't know that I'm ready for that. And then I look at it and say, look, I think you're going to get a better game experience at home just simply because the fans aren't going to be there. There's not going to be any media availability where you get to have access to players. It's all going to be done virtual via Zoom. So I can be safe at home. I can concede my seat to somebody who maybe needs it a little more. You know, my role at Basketball Insiders is really, really safe. So I don't have to kind of worry about I'm basically fighting for my job like some guys that are on the beat do. So it we'll kind of see. I may look at it a little differently when we get into the playoffs. But for these first, you know, 8 play-in games, I think I'm going to stay home.
Well, so then what would the media role be then? If you don't actually have access to anything, what would you be doing in the bubble?
Yeah, you know, that's really the thing is you're there, you know, and look, a big part of journalism, and I think this is kind of a lost part of our job as journalists, is sometimes is to be there and be impartial, unbiased eyes and opinions on things that are happening, that what we see occur, and there are things in a basketball game that never make it on television, how players interact with each other on the bench, how players interact with coaches. You know, these are the little subtle things that being around the game gives you insight to. But the fact that there's going to be no such thing as a media availability,
right,
where you're going to be able to ask kind of your thing to your guy, it's all going to be done virtual. And, you know, there is some, they're saying there will be some priority in some of these virtual meetings that the people who are on site will get to ask the first questions. But it's going to be a very controlled world. And, you know, from my perspective, I usually get more stuff done on my phone.
Something that's fascinated me is that you've got people who are high risk. Let's just say some of the coaches. And right now, they're all in. They're with their teams. We haven't seen a Greg Popovich opt out. I mean, we haven't seen any of these guys say, you know, this is not for me. But we have seen some players. So I find that dynamic interesting. But what's your reaction to that? The fact that you've got some high-risk people who don't want to miss this, but then you've got some players who are saying, I'll go ahead and sit this one out.
Well, I think on the player side is, you know, one, everybody's situation is uniquely different. We think of like Davis Bertans, right? You know, he's going to be a free agent. He's in line to get a huge payday this summer. His Washington Wizards team is not vying for a playoff spot, a serious playoff spot. They're not going to have why risk it? I get that. When you look at guys, you know, like Avery Bradley, he's got a son with a lung condition. You know, he's got a respiratory concern. That's a real thing. And sometimes you have to be a person first but specific to the coaches. You know, there are 30 of these jobs. These guys work incredibly hard to get there. We've seen it, how quickly coaches can be, have their contracts torn up, thrown away. These things end very quickly. Careers in coaching end very quickly. And certainly I think a Greg Popovich could tap out, but I think Greg lives this game. This is who he is. And I think being at home while his team and his organization are fighting for a playoff spot, I think goes against everything some of these guys are wired to do. And then it's look at the situation. Are you any safer at home? When you look at all the players that came into camp that immediately tested positive, they weren't safer at home. Are you going to be safer in an environment where everyone you come in contact with has been tested, that everything that you do has been thought about how you could be infected? The bubble will be safer in many ways than being out in the world on your own. So I do think a lot of these guys, and I've heard this from teams, I've heard this from players, they do feel like they are going to be safer where they are today than where they were a week ago. And I think as long as that continues to be true, it's probably the right decision for these guys to live out their dreams, right? You don't want to waste your opportunity because the chance to win a championship is fleeting.
And honestly, I think there are a lot of average Americans that would take the bubble. It sounds kind of cushy. And as you say, maybe a little safer. Although, what's with the food? Please tell me that was just the initial round of food and that they're actually going to get some full meals inside the bubble.
Yeah, you know, what it was they basically quarantined everybody for basically 3 days when they got there. So that meant no going to a buffet, no going to the restaurant. You had to stay in your room. So it was, what could they deliver room service wise to everybody? And while it, you know, I joke about this is like, if you're going to bring me everything, it might not have looked good, but I bet you it was Disney food and it tasted good. So they'll get to the buffets and the restaurants here this week. That was a very short term. It did look like airplane food, though. I'm not going to lie to you. There were some things that are like, really? But you also saw a lot of players brought stuff with them. They were all prepped that this is how this was going to go. I think a lot of players have had some fun with it.
Yeah, for sure. Steve Kuyler covers the NBA for Basketball Insiders with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I've wondered about this because obviously the way to preserve the bubble is to not allow anybody in or out. But what is the deal with, say, I don't know, Disney hotel workers who might be cleaning or other people who are doing jobs inside the bubble? What's the protocol for them? How many people are going in and out?
Well, that is the big risk of the bubble, and that was the one I was a little surprised that the NBA didn't have a better answer for, because everything that you're doing, like players are wearing little wristbands that show who they are. They've given them all these little rings that track their health that's completely optional. They've given them these little sensors that beep if you come within 6 feet of everybody. You know, the NBA is spending $150 million to pull this thing off. That's just an estimate at this point. And you're going to let everybody who works at the resort go home? Like, what was $1 million more to hire all those people to live in the bubble as staff? I never really got that one. But that is the variable right there. But the truth of it is, the number of people players or staff are going to come in contact with that are actually Disney employees is going to be very, very, very low. And there's never going to be a situation where kind of the person cleaning your room is going to be in contact with you. So maybe they leave things behind, but they're saying that's not really how you get this. It's more face-to-face stuff. And the number of people that will have face-to-face access with players, coaches, or staff is going to be very, very small.
That's great. It's good news. Steve, one more thing before I let you go. When you think about the layoff, how much do you believe it will hurt some of the favorites or maybe tip the scales toward upsets?
It's real. Like I said, I think there's some themes that are coming into this as maybe the dark horses when you think about New Orleans, when you think about Orlando, when you think about, you know, just the teams that were kind of maybe on the outside of all of this looking in, they come in with an easier path forward. You think about the older players, think about training camp when it starts. Normally somebody pulls a hamstring, somebody's got a groin strain, those soft tissue injuries that plague older players. LeBron pulls a hamstring in one of these opening games, it changes everything. If the chemistry isn't right, and I joke about this, but it's real, these guys are going to have that 9-foot straw shoved up their nose every 2 days. And if you're going to win a championship, you're probably having it done 180 times. It's crazy what that's going to do to these guys emotionally. They don't get to go home and be with their family. You don't get home court advantage. You're trapped in the same place over and over again. It's going to feel like Groundhog Day. you know, there's just a whole new thing here that who can manage it the best. I still think the chalk's the chalk. Milwaukee's great. The Lakers are great. But I think there is a recipe in here where Houston can be sneaky if they can get it right. You know, one of these teams that we're maybe looking at on the outside, like New Orleans, they if they get it right, like I said, you don't have to be great for 82 games. You just got to be great for 88 weeks.
I cannot wait. It's going to be a free-for-all, which sounds really interesting and dramatic, which is what I love. You can find Steve on Twitter at Steve Kyler NBA. Covers the league, covers basketball for Basketball Insiders. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes. It's good to talk to you.
Anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.